Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives podcast. I'm Courtney Nordrum from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics, and with me today is Erica Salmon Byrne from the Ethisphere Institute. Hi, Erica.
Hi, Courtney. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. I appreciate it. So today we're going to talk about training managers to hire for integrity. So you said that this is one of the areas that you're most passionate about. Can you explain why?
Yeah, absolutely. This is an area that I've been talking to companies about for a couple of years now. And the genesis of it really is that it is so costly to get someone out of your organization that doesn't fit from a cultural perspective. That from a compliance officer's perspective, really the most important juncture for an individual that is interacting with your organization is that place where they are first having the opportunity to walk in the door. If you can figure out how to make sure that you are culturally hiring the right people, you're hiring for integrity, you're hiring for your values, you're hiring for your culture of ethics as an organization, you have really advanced the ball tremendously. And it's an area that a lot of companies have not paid a lot of attention to because it's so much easier once the person is hired, then you start training them and you look at, you know, getting them to certify and sign off on your policies and you start checking to make sure that they're following your standards and, you know, that their conduct is what you expect. But, you know, if something goes wrong, as we all know well from all of the stories out there of things that have gone wrong and our own personal experiences, if something goes wrong, the cost to the organization of getting that person out of the company, dealing with whatever is the result of their bad acts, and then rehiring to fill that position, that's a tremendous morale cost. It's a tremendous financial cost. It's a tremendous personnel cost to go through all of those steps. So targeting in on how do I hire right is something that a lot of compliance officers are looking at right now, and something that makes a tremendous amount of sense when you think about the trajectory of an employee inside of an organization. Now, you couple that with the fact that more and more companies are asking managers to hire, right? So you're a manager and you've got an open position in your department. Chances are very good, depending on your organization, that you're not even really getting much help in screening candidates for that position. Mm-hmm. You know, some organizations have even gone so far as to fully do away with human resources as a function within their organization. So not only is HR not hiring for you, but HR is actually not even really giving you any support, or perhaps they don't exist at all. So you've got a manager who is probably in that position because he or she was good at the job they were doing, so they got promoted, right? We don't generally get promoted to be managers because we're good managers. We get promoted to be managers, you know, because we were good at what we were doing before. So you got a manager and you don't train that manager on how to be a manager, and then you ask that manager to hire, you've got a problem, right, in that equation. So that's part of the reason why I think this is going to be one of the big issues of 2016.
Really? So would you suggest when training managers to hire that it start at the resume level, or is it not something that you can do until they get an in-person feel for the candidates?
You know, it's a really good question. And you know, certainly this is something that you have to balance with labor and employment law related issues, discrimination related issues, because, you know, it's very easy either from a perspective of, you know, where you're aware that you're doing it or a place where you're not aware that you're doing it, to hire people who are like you, right? We're all comfortable with the people who are like us. And so it's very natural for me as a manager to want to hire somebody like me. So you have to be very careful with labor and employment laws. You have to be very careful from a discrimination perspective. But I think the place you want to start is with that manager herself, right? So what have you done to communicate your company's values effectively to that manager? What kind of training have you done for that manager on what you expect of her as a manager? Those are sort of the two hurdles you have to hop over first, right? Making sure you've clearly communicated your company's values and what's important to you to the manager, making sure she understands what's expected of her in the hiring process, hopefully giving her some training on what not to do while interviewing. And then you want to think about what are some of the indicators to you as a compliance officer that someone is a cultural fit for your organization. So there's, you know, there's some training you can do around red flags, you know, things that that manager ought to be looking out for from a resume perspective. If you are a culture that really values a long-term employment, right? So you're one of those companies out there that intends to hire people that will be here for 5 or 10 years. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's got a resume that shows that she's left every job after 18 months may be not culturally the right fit for you. So just, you know, thinking about who you are as an organization, what's going to fit culturally inside your organization, and then how do you help a manager translate that into cues at the interview stage?
That's great advice. And we mentioned at the beginning that hiring for integrity specifically is what we're kind of aiming for now in 2016, or what you think compliance and managers should be aiming for. So what does integrity look like?
It's, you know, and again, it's a company specific question. So, you know, what does integrity look like to your individual organization? Is it complete and total adherence to policies, right? Is it empowered decision making where you as the employee understand the why behind the rules? Is it a culture in which you are expected to challenge authority? So, you know, some of this is really getting back to basics for a compliance officer of what kind of a company do you actually have? Because at the end of the day, the integrity question is really all about the match and the fit and effectively communicating expectations, right? I was prompted to think of this topic when you and I were talking about a potential podcast because of the JP Morgan story about these trainees who were cheating on the basic accounting test.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, these are people who are certainly more than capable of passing a basic accounting test, right? Mm-hmm. You've graduated from some of the best schools in the world. You've gotten hired by a very large organization and you are now working there. And one of the first things you do is you cheat on a test.
Yeah, so, that's not a good sign.
No, it's not. No, it's not a good sign, right? So something went wrong in that hiring process, you know, that you would wind up with a group, not just one trainee, right? I mean, you're always going to have bad apples. There's no organization on earth that doesn't have anybody inside the company that doesn't have the capability of doing something that the company wouldn't want them to be doing. But the fact that you not just have one trainee that cheats, that you've got a group that thought that was something that would be acceptable inside the JP Morgan Chase universe,
yeah,
means that you've gone awry in communicating expectations at some point along the road.
And I think a lot of it, at least for me, when I think about integrity and I think about ethics and culture fit, I think a lot of it to me is trusting your gut.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a conversation with someone, when you sit down and look them in the eye, or even if it's kind of a Skype interview or that, you go, I have a gut feeling about this person. I feel like they're going to fit or not fit. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot to the gut. Now, obviously, again, from a labor and employment law perspective, you got to be careful with your gut, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If Malcolm Gladwell has taught us nothing else, it's that, you know, we have all sorts of things inside of our brain that are triggering us to do things that we may or may not be conscious of at the time. So, you know, I think you have to be a little careful with the gut question. But I do think, you know, if you find yourself twisting yourself into a pretzel, trying to explain why this is a great place for this person to work, listen to that, right? You know, we've all had those interviews. Either, you know, we're pretending to be somebody we're not as the interviewee, or as the interviewer, we're trying to put as, you know, happy a face on things as possible. And I think that's a warning sign, right, to the person who is being interviewed as well as to the manager who's doing the interviewing. If you can't see yourself, you know, working with this person, trusting their decision-making process, then that is something that you really need to listen to.
I've also noticed that when I'm interviewing others, I'm looking at when they're answering questions, how are they giving credit and how are they placing blame? Mm-hmm. On others. Are they taking all the credit and then blaming others for things that have gone wrong? And what kind of personal responsibility they take, even in their stories to me, which are, I'm hoping, rehearsed and well thought out.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's a really good point, and I think it raises another thing that compliance officers are starting to think about, and I think need to be thinking about, and that is, as an organization, how do we respond to failure, right?
Exactly.
When things go wrong inside our company, what is our corporate response to failure? Is it to find someone upon whom we can place responsibility for the failure? Or is it really about understanding why it happened without assigning responsibility for it, such that we can learn from it going forward, right? But again, that goes down to the question of culture. And what sort of work have you done as a company to make sure your managers understand the company, right? I mean, one of the things that I find fascinating every time I work with a company on a culture survey is the disconnect between what the people at headquarters think the company's culture is and what the people out in the field do, right? So again, if you're promoting managers because they were good at the job they were doing and you're not training them on how to manage, then the chances are good that you've got pockets of culture across your organization that are not what you would like it to be. And again, the more people get hired into those pockets, the more potential problems you have. So it's about whether or not you want to take the time to put the work in on prevention, which is really what all of this work with the managers would be.
Prevention is the most important, because when you do have those pockets and when you do have kind of silos of different cultures, it's just screaming out liability and screaming that there's going to be some disconnect either now or later on.
Yep.
So when you are looking and training managers to hire for integrity and to hire for culture, how much do you think is inherent in who they're hiring? So this is kind of a nature versus nurture question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you can take someone who's very green and very new and say, here's our culture, here's what we need you to be? Or are people just coming into it and you need to hire someone who fits?
Yeah, I think it's both, right? I mean, I think there's certainly a role for good training, and you can absolutely train someone to fit, right? To fit your organization, particularly at the entry level, right? I mean,
yeah.
As you're hiring senior people, as you're bringing more seasoned folks into the organization, it's harder to undo whatever training they've already been given. But you know, if we think about to pick on the poor JP Morgan Chase trainees again, you know, if we think about these, you know, 25, 26 year old new entrants into the workforce, that is someone where certainly there can be some training. Now they are going to come in with the 25-ish years of life experience they've had, right?
So, yeah.
You know, there's something along the way that has gotten them to a place where they feel like it is okay and appropriate for them to be cheating on a basic accounting test. Somewhere along the lines, they got that cue, right? Mm-hmm. But you can undo those kind of cues. And one of the best ways you can undo those kind of cues is not just formal training, but it's also leadership, right? And so, you know, one of the things that I have always gone back to over the course of the last decade in talking to compliance officers is the fact that, you know, if you look at survey data, upwards of 80% of employees say year after year after year that their most important figure from an ethics perspective is their direct manager, right?
Yes.
CEO is great, right? What the CEO does is important, but what really matters to me, the person I take my cues from, is the person I'm reporting to on a day-to-day basis. So if that person is fudging expense reports and rounding up on taxi receipts and whatever else, I'm going to pick up on that and I'm going to think that is the
okay.
way the company expects me to behave.
Yes. And in experience, I think that rings true as well. You start modeling the behavior of those around you and those above you, particularly I think in larger corporations where there is more of a hierarchy. You know that the person above you got there by doing what they do.
Right.
So you do what they do to try to get ahead as well.
Yep.
Do you think that with the JP Morgan Chase, we'll call them cheaters. That's not a value judgment. That's just what they are. Do you think that ethics training or kind of business ethics classes in business school would have been advantageous? Do you think that that's something that should be implemented more rigidly?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting question. You know, again, going to this whole how do we react when things go wrong question, right? Are we trying to solve a problem or are we trying to point a finger at it happened as a result of somebody else or something else? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of very good business ethics classes out there already. You know, many of the business schools mandate at the undergrad level that you have to take them, and the MBA programs almost universally have some ethics component to the MBA program. So I think it's more, to me, it really comes down to more of the why, right?
Okay.
If somebody had said, and people may, after this podcast comes out, you know, comment that this is tremendously naive on my part, but I don't think it is. If someone had taken the time to explain to those trainees why they were taking that test, right? This is the thing that it comes down to for me at the end of the day. It's the power of the reason behind the rule, right?
Yes.
It's not about the rule. It's about what the rule is supposed to accomplish. And so as a compliance officer, if I'm working inside a large organization and I'm trying to communicate to employees about a particular concern that I have, I'm going to put 80% of my time, energy, and effort into explaining to them why it matters. And the why is never going to be about the organization's liability, right? It's never going to be about if you break this rule, you could go to jail. That is so abstract, right? It's you know, you have to calculate your odds of getting caught and blah, 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 blah. If somebody says to me instead as a normal employee, hey, you know what? We don't hire our cousin's company to clean the toilets here because our cousin's company may not be the best fit for what our company needs. And you as the cousin really can't make that decision.
Yeah.
Because you know, you're
a little too close.
About that is you're a little too close to it. That's a much more effective way of saying to somebody, this is what matters to me, right? It's not about, you know, is he going to give us the best price or not? You really can't make that judgment because you're too close. And so that's the reason why we've got this rule in the first place. You know, I find it fascinating that for a lot of Indian companies right now, companies based in India, mm-hmm. are actually providing training on conflicts of interest to the family members of employees.
Really?
Yeah, so that the family members don't pressure employees to do something they can't do.
That's brilliant. What a way to think outside the box and to actually spread understanding of the rules instead of just enforcing the rules from the top down.
Right. Yep. Because the top down stuff's always retroactive, right? You're always reacting to something that has already happened. And so if you put your time and your energy into the why, not only do you wind up with better managers and better employees, but it also makes the compliance officer's job easier.
And that's what we like.
It's the goal, right? That's the goal.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Erica, I want to thank you for taking some time out today to talk with me.
Thank you, Courtney.